Every decade or so, the rules of software change completely. This is one of those moments. The AI Revolution Show is the intelligence podcast for B2B software founders navigating the platform shift, the founders building through it, and the founders already on the other side. All right, welcome to the AI Revolution Show. I'm your host, Alex Thuma, CEO and founder of SaaStock, which is actually becoming Shift AI, something we can touch on as we speak about rebrands at some point. But I'm delighted to be joined today by Roy Mann, who is co-CEO at Monday.com, and I think potentially has a very defining founder story of 2026. So I'm really excited that you're here, Roy. Really looking forward to the conversation.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, and we were just discussing, obviously, before we press record, that we are recording this. It's Thursday the 9th of April. This will go out, towards the end of April. But the world is moving so fast now. So hopefully, I'm pretty sure a lot of what is going to be said today is going to be quite evergreen and relevant. But we just don't know today, right?
For the podcast I record right now, I'm saying you're hearing a time capsule from, like, if it's in 2 weeks from now, then yep. In 2 weeks. And, what we're saying is true for today.
It's true for today. Hopefully it's true for today and tomorrow.
From our perspective.
We will see, though. We will see. But Roy, I want to just share with our audience, or have you share, just a little bit. We start around the origin, because you built Monday.com initially as an internal tool at Wix to, I understand, fix your own scaling problems. But what was the actual problem that you were trying to solve? And did you ever think at the time that you're going to reach $1 billion in revenue?
Yeah, so when we started, Wix was the first customer. And I think we started with an interesting problem, which was like, how do people work together? Not how do we manage projects, not something that is really specific. And I think that's like as a core thing to be solved, as a core problem that we wanted to like improve on, was super important for our evolution as a company, because it kept us very wide, because we weren't tied to a specific thing. And I don't know, maybe it's worth mentioning, Monday right now has like 250,000 paying customers, and millions of users. And it's across more than 200 different business industries. We manage like so many a wide variety of use cases, from like manufacturing plants. People do a process of clinical trial research on us. They manage, obviously, tech companies, non-tech companies. We had like airplane manufacturer, a lot of like very versatile stuff. And I think that's because the problem we took was very wide.
Taking the problem sort of very wide, like a typical classic, let's say, SaaS startup journey is to really have a very narrow defined ICP. But in your case, your TAM is like pretty huge. You mentioned all these different industries and companies. Like, what was the decision making sort of around that approach versus what most people typically hear is like really define the ICP and focus on them in the beginning?
Yeah, so I think like we had an ICP, it was just it was addressable in a very non-addressable way, yeah. Which was like people who really want to manage stuff well.
Yeah.
Okay. And everyone was suffering from a lack of visibility, transparency into their operation, a lack of the sense of control. Where are things at? How do I work with other people? So that was a very broad problem into how people work together. And I think like what we've done amazingly in Monday is like reduce the complexity of building something to zero. Like people onboarded onto the tool and said like, it's an amazing tool to manage. We had beer breweries in the beginning, amazing tool for beer breweries. But like we really didn't build it for that. But they didn't understand that they were building their own tool. They thought they were just onboarding on something predefined. So I think that level of simplicity and the depth we did have into allowing them to do whatever they want. I think that was what made it work for us. I don't think it's a general thing that can work on any problem and in any area. So I think the focusing on one ICP makes sense for some companies. Like, I would recommend more than one. Like, if you want to see the broader picture, like, take three. So you have like different angles. Otherwise, you entrench yourself in a very specific path. And we did have other products, obviously, that we have a more narrow view on a massive market. So it's not only that we did.
Originally, it wasn't called Monday.com, right? It was DePulse.
Yeah.
And so you rebranded completely. We're actually going through a rebrand ourselves. So as we said, we're recording on the 9th of April. On the 15th of April, we're going to announce our new rebrand. Actually, maybe just anecdotally, like, this was something we've been thinking about for a long time. And I think in a pre-AI world, we as a small business have probably thought that, look, a rebrand is a huge project. It's going to take a lot of time. I don't know, like 6 months. We'll need some consultancies, or, you know, so on and so forth. We've actually managed to do this kind of like very quickly now with our friend Claude and other things like that, which I think is, you know, a real sort of net positive for AI. But for those that have never been through a rebrand, what does it actually take, you know, to kind of walk away from a name and identity that perhaps was working?
Yeah, so it was working in a way that we had success before we changed the name, but it wasn't working, and it was easy for us to switch a name because, like, people like told us every day, I'm not introducing this to my team because of the name, you
right.
know? So that's like an easier place to
yeah.
be in.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, Monday wasn't easy for people. Like, people, like, we had objections from everyone, okay? Because it's like people hate Mondays and whatever. And everyone invents
yeah.
some sort of problem. You will never own SEO.
Yeah.
It took us, like, I think 2 days to own SEO for the name. But so a lot of like objections. And also people within the company felt like a tremendous pressure, okay? Because like it's a rebrand, it needs to be perfect. And for some reason, they think you can't change after that. And a lot of those stuff. So I think one of the most important thing we did at some point is say, it's not a rebrand.
Okay.
It's a rename.
Yeah.
Okay. Keep everything the same. You don't need to change everything. You don't, like, just let's change the name and then we'll move on if we want to rebrand. And eventually it was a rebrand, but it helped people just like release their fears and problems along the way of doing the change. And obviously it's like, in retrospective, one of the best name changes I could have ever expected to. But yeah, so you also need to feel that you own it, because at some point we were the only, Iran and I think were the only ones who were for the name.
How
got on the objection.
How did you land on the name? Like, what's the relevance of Monday?
So we were trying to replace the name for like a year. And then one of our investors came and told me, you know, I have a name for the company. And initially I thought it would be a really good thing we can joke on for a week. But then he said Monday, and I was like, wow, that's like, it's powerful, you know? Monday essentially is like the first day of the week, right? Working week.
Mm-hmm.
And that people hate. And I think that's what I liked about it. Why? Because, like, that's what we're here to change. Okay? Like, those feelings that you have. So it's a name that involves a lot of feelings around work. And I think that's perfect for us. Obviously, whether they're negative. And actually, like, 50% of the people find it positive. They're just the silent 50%. We did surveys. Okay? So for us, it was like, great. People have emotions around the name, you know, and it's memorable. So,
and you and Aaron have been running Monday.com as co-CEOs for over a decade, which is, you do see it, but it's usually unusual. What makes that work? And, like, does it ever break down?
So I think it's like a relationship. Really, we talk about it like a relationship. We invest in the relationship. And I know a lot of couple CEOs don't, it doesn't work out for a lot of people, but it requires a lot of trust. And I think we work on that trust all the time, but basically we also have the same role. If you split the company in that, we didn't do that. Like, we have like the same background knowledge. We're different people with different skills, but we kind of try and be alternative to each other. And I think that also helps.
Have there ever been, I'm just trying to imagine it in, maybe it's the wrong way to think about it, but let's say if I brought in a co-CEO, and I guess you're bringing somebody in when you've already been a CEO, so maybe there's already a challenge where you both a CEO and one wants to go in one direction, one wants to go in the other direction. You both feel that you have the same amount of power. Like, if you want to go in different directions, how do you get to the conclusion or the point where you move forward?
So I think, like, on both our ends, like, we trust each other enough to let the other one decide. Like, I would happily go with what Iran wants.
Yep.
And then, like, if it's wrong, we'll figure it out together, move to a different place. Like, the key is walking the path together rather than getting what I want. And, like, we don't necessarily always agree on everything, but I think, like, more importantly, we always walk together.
I want to sort of jump into then, like, the AI platform shift, right? So we're going through this huge technological transformation that's, the world within software is moving incredibly fast, and there's very exciting things and some very scary things with that. In February, obviously there was a big moment in the market, and it sort of impacted you guys sort of specifically. Your 2027 revenue target, I think, was pulled. The stock dropped. What was that day, that night, like, actually like, you know, for you? And your honest read, you know, on why the market reacted the way it did.
So it wasn't the first drop we had. Like, yeah. The first drop was like 2 years ago when the whole market dropped. And I kind of feel the same way about this situation, which means we didn't drop alone. Okay. It was the whole SaaS that was dropped. If you look at the whole SaaS sector stock and look at our stock, us, we stayed highest the longest period of time. And then one thing, you know, is impacted, and then the market just brought us down to the valuation where it put everyone else. So from my perspective, it's bigger than us.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not necessarily what we did in that point of time or not. It's like a general thing that happened to the whole market. And I think SaaS is being valued to basically nothing because investors, and I think Iran talked about it in other places, that, like, it's over-indexing, okay? They don't know who's going to make it or not. It's a massive change. Mm-hmm. So they pull out of everything at once.
Yeah.
And that's how the market reacts. Obviously, a lot of companies, I think, will make it. Like,
yep.
A lot of SaaS companies, if they change.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. And I think that's the important thing around adaptation to this. And I guess specifically, you know, part of the framing sort of going around right now is this existential threat around this per-seat SaaS model, the thought that AI agents are going to be shrinking headcount. We are seeing that, you know, in some companies that are leading the way, you know, potentially shrinking headcount, you know, shrinks the per-seat sort of model, you know, potentially the whole growth engine sort of breaks. Do you agree with this? Or would you, like, what was your thought on it? Is this real? Is this existential threat real?
So I think, like, there's a lot of changes that has to happen with SaaS. One of them is not relying solely on the seat model. But we are shifting towards that. Like, and we actually, it's worth mentioning, we changed our vision. Okay. Our vision was to manage all work. Okay, in a way. And we shifted that vision to being not only manage work, but also doing the work. And I think that's like the core fundamental massive change we're experiencing is that people expect more out of software. They want it to do the work, not just manage work. Okay, and with that actually comes like a massive market increase. We're going to see companies spend way more on software. Okay, so the pie has gone a lot bigger. And with the seat model, I think doing the work has to be consumption-based, okay? Obviously, tokens or like those kind of stuff. I do think that managing work still needs to be seats. And it's interesting to see, and you see it in GitHub. I think I saw a statistic that they grew like 30% and they're seat-based. And why? Because of agents. Because you have a lot of agents joining the platform and paying a seat. So the first thing we did, like I think, or first, but on the third wave, which we need to talk about, like the OpenClaw wave, which yeah. we see now, we opened up the platform for agents to sign up. So if you have an agent, an OpenClaw, and they can do stuff or any other that level of agent, just tell it to sign up to Monday and manage whatever you want on it, like your expenses with it. Like my agent manages all the budget it has. It has a credit card and buys stuff, and it manages all of it on Monday. And we have like a, we're building an outbound motion, and they're building it on one day. Why? Because we need to work with the agents as well. Like I don't want them running around doing stuff I don't know what they did. I want transparency into it and influence. And so Monday is exactly that on the core. So there might be, like, I wouldn't want to ditch the seat model completely. I want to add the consumption
yep.
for doing the work and keep the seat model for people and agents.
With that shift, let's say seeing agents as customers now and buying seats, we're still very early in, you know, what's happened over the last sort of like couple of months. But have you seen like a material impact? Have you seen, you know, many agents sign up and purchasing seats on the platform?
Yeah, so we have agents signing yeah. up and purchasing seats on the platform, but it's not significant.
Yeah.
Okay, why? Because that's how markets evolve. You know, initially it's like random for a very small niche of people who are able to install OpenClaw and configure it and all those stuff. And, you know, the thing is to build for the future and understand where the future is going to be. So it's a classic innovator's dilemma,
yeah.
you know? It's like a small niche market, but eventually it's going to grow and become like a massive one. I think agents doing work for people on behalf of people and should have a place.
And when did you personally feel that the AI platform shift moment, that it, you know, it wasn't just hype, that this is going to structurally change the business? Love to kind of like know a little bit more around that, when you personally kind of looked at that and, you know, thought we really need to adapt here.
Yeah. So I really see the AI change as like three waves. The first wave was ChatGPT when it was introduced.
Yep.
The second one, I'll say it like briefly, it's vibe coding and writing code and automatic agent, like agents that are like structured. Okay. Like N8N and a lot of those. Methods. And the third wave in my eyes is OpenClaw and like autonomous agents that are like, you know, personal assistants and can think and take ownership. And so basically on the first wave, like I'll be honest, we did nothing. I already understood it's a massive change. Everyone did. Okay. I don't think I ever thought it's a hype. Okay. It was a real fundamental, amazing technology, but we really didn't understand what we needed to do. And I think on the second wave, which we can think about it when those models were able to write code well enough, okay, not auto-complete a sentence, but like really write code. For me, when I started writing code, like I had like a moment of clarity where you have, and I think everyone who writes code with agents and builds stuff with them have that moment where you say, wow, it did something super intelligent now. For me, it was when I wanted it to build like three features, and he argued with me on what to do and like how hard was the third one. And then at some point it told me like, look, let's just do two of them. The third one we don't really need. The first two like really lay in the foundation for the thing we want to do in the future. And I'm saying, wow. Like he told me off that I'm like overbuilding. Usually it's the reverse. And he's like, a true partner is like intelligent and like made a wise choice and like stopped us from like that whole conversation. And it was like, wow. So at some point you understand it's a real brain in there.
Yeah.
And you just need to figure out a way to harness it, which is not that easy. But it's like, it's going to change so many things.
100%. And you've touched on, you mentioned obviously a lot more spend is going to happen. You know, the spend increase on software that many SaaS companies will actually benefit from AI, you know, through the opportunity if they change, if they adapt. The ones that don't, you know, are probably the ones under threat. Let's learn a little bit more about the changes you're making, right? So you talked about agents can now buy seats on Monday. Let's go through maybe some of the structural changes that you're making to the platform that to ensure that, you know, Monday is adapting, it's going to survive the existential threat, and it's going to, continue to grow from where it is today.
Yeah. So I think like we need to talk like a step back and talk about the organizational change,
yep.
The mind shift change. Okay. We needed to have here that everyone understands, you know, we're going on AI. We understand it's a new market. We changed the vision. Okay. And people need to change. And I think that's the most important thing that we're able as a company to embrace the change and not resist it. And I think like we're one of the more agile companies out there. Like people are very entrepreneurial in Monday and can make the shift, but it still wasn't and isn't easy in all areas, but we are doing it. And I think once we've successfully done that, we saw a massive shift in the product itself as well. Okay, and we've introduced agents and Monday Vibe and Sidekick, which is a personal agent. And so the shift happened really quickly in the software when we were able to shift our minds. And I think like we've made some really successful changes that customers really value that brings us way closer into AI, like the AI world. And we're not stopping. So when I mean we're not stopping, we're adding a lot of other software. We're expanding the ecosystem of products and offerings we can make, I think, as part of the change. And that's the positive side. Okay, we can do more, so let's do more.
What are your thoughts that, like, seeing quite a bit of this this year and, you know, a bit of discussion with, let's say, some SaaS companies, maybe Intercom as a poster boy? I think like Owen McCabe like did a post about you got to burn down what you've built if you're a SaaS company and, you know, build like from the ground up to an AI native platform or tool. I think I saw Mutiny yesterday, an announcement that you know they have just burnt it down and, you know, started building an AI native sort of version of that. So the thoughts around adding AI to your existing platform versus just building something AI native from the ground up.
So I think like that's the tricky part. If you have a massive user base that rely on you and want to use your product and are using it, you need to bring them also to the new world. Okay, so I think Intercom had a negative ARR at the point that they made the change. Okay, what if you're growing really fast? Okay, yep. Like we are. Okay, what if you're still growing and customers rely on you more and more and you're on a market that is still growing while AI is going to be disruptive over time. So I think like our approach is that we are a partner to our customers, that they can rely on us, that we will bring them the future. Okay. And I think it doesn't mean we're hanging on to what's the past. It means we're taking them along with us. And I think that's harder than building a new thing, but it's better for everyone alongside building new things. Okay. So we're doing both. And that's very hard. So for example, we introduced agents into the Monday platform. You can go in, build an agent that do your work, and like it's amazing agents. And alongside that, we just launched a new service that is called Agent Talent that allows any agent out there to sign up for the platform and offer their services, okay? Or a human that has an agent that will tell it to sign up to the platform and offer its services. And also every company that want to open up roles for agents, okay? So essentially, that's like a marketplace for jobs for agents that we will need to compete on as well, okay? Maybe other agents that are built will be better for some roles. And the way we open up for it and do it is because we really see ourselves as a place to bridge the gap, okay? Like when you see all this technology, it's amazing, but then you talk with companies and you say, what did you really implement? What was really cost effective? What was really helpful for you? And you see very low adoption. Okay, and why? Because it's not there yet as a complete product. It's amazing technology, and I can tell you how much money I spend on tokens and what do I get for it. It's not a good ratio, okay? But like I see what it can do. So our job is to bridge that gap. And I think Agent Talent is an attempt to help our customers and new potential customers to bridge the gap. All you need to do is open a role, you know? Everyone can do that. So I think we're expanding the offering we have to support the future, but also adding the necessary layers for us to be truly transformative into the new world for our customers inside their existing product.
I guess you've been doing many hard things throughout the duration of Monday.com, not just now, right? It's always hard, and you're running a public company. I think you've got like 1.5 billion in cash, thousands of employees. Monday not being the only one who's had the impact of the stock being down. What is the genuine hard call that you're facing right now that you can't outsource to anybody else?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I think in one word, it's change. Okay, like I think because me and Iran have the perspective of seeing everything come to life and being built, like we're also are the one who are more, let's say, have the credibility in the company to change that. And I think you see that example with Google, that they brought back Sergey Brin to help them change into AI, okay? So he wasn't even there and They brought him back, because it's very hard to let go of something, especially when it's growing, you know? So think of Google. They've made a massive change and brought AI on the search to be the first thing. That's like, wow, that's a hard decision to make. And they made it. Okay. And we saw kind of like from our humble perspective, the same decision we had to make was when you onboard to the platform. Do you onboard on a process, on a board, something that visualizes your workflow, or do you onboard on an agent and on AI and those stuff? So we're choosing agent, okay? And it's hard for us because it changes the whole funnel and brings a whole different value to new customers. So I think those are the type of changes that are, let's say, first of all, it's our responsibility to bring, and it's easier for us to do it. And I think like that's the single thing, you know, others will find hard to do.
Most of the people listening to this podcast are likely what I call or should be the transformers, right? They're existing SaaS businesses between 1 and 20 million in revenue. I would think many of them, you know, have been looking at the market, listening to podcasts that you've been on, you know, kind of this year, seeing what you're doing, you know, what's happening to Monday.com and what you're doing. And whilst I think there's this, you know, there's certainly fear, uncertainty and doubt, you know, there is excitement, but I'm sensing certainly with some of our community that they are scared, right, about their 8-year-old SaaS business that's doing 10 million in revenue and is AI killing their business. What's one thing that you would tell these founders that are listening to maybe do, you know, this week or do pretty soon? What would you say?
So I can share what I did. I didn't write code for a long while. And I actually think they threw a party when they threw the last line of code from the system that I wrote, you know. But But I'm back to coding a lot because I want to understand the technology deeply. And I find that it's very important because then I can drive change and then I can move us to a new place. Like, I don't think I don't think only SaaS is under disruption. I think a lot of other stuff will be under disruption. Doctors,
yeah.
Okay, lawyers, everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it's not only us. We need to, but you're in a place, you can change, you can pivot, you can move, you can shift. But if you don't re-understand the technology stack that you have at your disposal, then I think it's very hard to make the change, okay? A lot of SaaS companies are solving a core problem. And maybe that problem is not changing, okay? Maybe it's the same problem people will still have. But the way it's going to get solved is going to change fundamentally. So you can go on that path, but then you need to understand the technology, or that you understand that you can't own it at all, okay? And I wouldn't count on hype for that. Like, I think there is a lot of room for making it accessible for people. The fact that you can open Claude and build an agent, and it's great, you know, it doesn't mean people will entrench it within their sales process, okay? Or their finances. And there is a lot of, and we see a lot of really good vertical AI companies that do just that, take the existing technology but make it applicable to businesses. So I think there is an opportunity there. But the main thing, understand the technology. Go deep, open an open claw right now, you know, and then try and make it work for you.
Finally, Roy, you've probably been in, let's say, hundreds of, you know, investor calls or earnings calls over the last sort of few months. What's the question nobody's asked you or asking you that you wish that they would?
Well, they ask so many different questions. Like, I'll tell you what I think people are not doing enough, which is thinking more deeply into their assumptions. Like, if you think SaaS is going to die because there is no more seats, okay? Those seats means no jobs. Okay, so what about those people? You know, it's a lot of jobs that will not exist. So really, is SaaS the problem?
Yeah.
If you think that way, where are we heading as a society? What will we need next? How will that evolve? So I think people need to think more deeply into their assumptions because a lot of them contradict. And I'm saying that after I said, like, you know, SaaS is being disrupted and everyone needs to move. But, you know, it's like I get a lot of thoughts that are halfway there. And I think that's important.
Well, Roy, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. You know, I think this is a real, I'd say, defining story that we're seeing within the software market this year. And, you know, really excited to continue to follow this and seeing how you're adapting and looking to, you know, accelerate monday.com. So really appreciate your time coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. And I think it's an exciting time and a great opportunity because the pie is getting bigger.
100%. 100% agree. All right. Thanks so much, Roy.
Thank you.